Santo. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Your life and your teaching. And this is the seasoned Apostle Paul instructing the young Timothy in the early days of his ministry. Watch your life and teaching closely. And Alan, that's all I want to say. So why don't we sing the last hymn? The first letter of Timothy, in summary, says, guard the godliness that goes with the gospel. Guard the godliness that goes with the gospel. Godliness should be apparent in the lives of all Christians, yes, but especially Christian pastor teachers. And if a church leader fails to apply a knowledge of the truth so that it leads to a godly life, then they will not be fit for purpose as agents of salvation. So watch your life and teaching closely. And for those of you thinking, well, this is very interesting for Alan, but it's not really for me, wait up. I'm going to show you in just a moment why it's very much for you as well. Okay? Note well the order. Watch your life first. Life first. Now, we don't live in the days of the apostles, obviously. We live in the in-between days. The days after the apostles who had seen the Lord Jesus Christ with their own eyes, and before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in those in-between days, which is exactly the time in the world that Timothy was inhabiting, if you think about it. He'd never seen Jesus either. Okay, he lived a lot closer to him than we do, but he'd never seen him with his own eyes. Access to Jesus for Timothy was via the apostolic testimony. In other words, the apostles who had seen Jesus, what they recorded, which we call our New Testament. Although obviously Timothy had the advantage of meeting people like Paul face to face, but he'd never seen Jesus, like we have never yet seen Jesus. Now, I'm sure this never happens to John Smuts, but I sometimes say after a couple of weeks away on holiday, I come back and I think, what on earth am I supposed to be doing in this job as a pastor? And what I do is not to go to the Gospels, wonderful as they are, but they teach us what Jesus did and told the apostles to do. What I do is I go to the pastoral epistles, Timothy and Titus, because those are not gospel tracts like the Gospels. They are manuals primarily for pastoral ministry. So I read them. And I haven't got too far in them when I think, ah, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's my job. Watch your life and teaching closely. Why is it so important? Two reasons we see in the text here. Number one, and this is why it's for everybody, this message. Here it is. Number one, people follow our example, like it or not. Chapter 4, verse 12. Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and in purity. So you see, whereas the message is direct to Alan, watch your life and teaching closely. It affects us all, because he will be setting an example, like it or not. And we want it, and you need to pray for it, members of Rainer's Lane Baptist Church, that it would be an example you want to follow, and that you want the young people to follow, and the children to follow. How many sermons can you remember? Do you know, I have to confess, I sometimes find it difficult, hard to remember my own sermons, let alone anybody else's. But how many of the preachers and teachers that have deeply affected you in your life can you remember? I can remember them. I can remember one of my Sunday school teachers in particular from many years ago. One of the reasons I remember him is he threw me out of the class, even though I was the pastor's kid. Deeply respect him for that, by the way. But anyway, we forget how influential our teachers are. I suspect that many of us have taken big decisions in life about like what we study, based on the teachers that we liked or influenced us. Our teachers have remarkable influence on us. And the young preacher, the young Timothy, Alan, is to set an example, not just in formal teaching. I think speech is wider than that, probably. It's his whole conversation, how he engages with you in one-to-one conversation. The banter, even. Is it godly banter or is it ungodly banter? There is a difference. In speech, in life, verse 12, in love, in faith, and in purity. Alan, you know that you'll never be perfect, but you must always be an example. Who is sufficient for these things? Only by the grace of God and his sufficiency in Christ. And if we stray, and Alan, you will stray as I stray from time to time, we must be quick to repent and apologize if necessary. I remember arriving at the first church where I was the pastor and being told by an older church member that whatever I did, I should never apologize from the pulpit. Well, here I am in a pulpit. I should never apologize from the pulpit. It's absolute nonsense. Pastors need to set an example of humility. And if that means a timely and appropriate apology, let it be said. Now, they say that churches grow to reflect their pastors rather like owners do their dogs. So let us be careful how we walk. And Alan, what an encouragement to the congregation it will be if they see you growing in godliness. Verse 15 says this: be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. And I have to say, as I've observed you these last 6 years, I knew you a few years before that, but these last 6 years of closely working together, it has been such an encouragement to see your progress in a whole raft of areas. And I trust that here in Rayners Lane, there will be the same acknowledgement and observation of progress that you are making, Alan, in due course with the help of the lovely Heather alongside you. It's very important that you watch your life and teaching closely, Alan, because you will set an example. People will follow you, like it or not. Second reason is that salvation issues are at stake. Salvation issues are at stake. Look at verse 16 again. Watch your life and teaching closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. One of the great requirements for a genuine pastor is perseverance in watching himself and his teaching like a hawk. Why? Not to bolster his pride or reputation, but for the salvation of himself and his hearers. Now you say, well, is that right? Surely we cannot save ourselves or others by our own efforts. No. But perseverance in godliness and in faithful teaching is proof of the pudding. For Christians, it's proof of the pudding in their salvation, that they keep going along the path of godliness and faith. And for the pastor, his perseverance, like it or not, will affect not only his own salvation, but also the salvation of others. We might ask, well, what can a pastor lose his salvation? Well, it's sadly the case that you can be a pastor and unsaved. Everyone may have thought you were saved until the day it becomes clear you're not. And Satan may use that day to expose others too. It's a terrible thought, but sadly possible. So says the apostle, don't do it. Instead, persevere in watching your life and teaching closely. Your salvation is at stake. You claim not only to be a pastor, to be a Christian. Let's see the proof of it in your perseverance. It affects not just you, but others. And I'm sure many of us know stories, sadly, of pastors and churches going off the rails. We don't want that to happen. So I plead with you, Alan, by the grace of God, keep persevering in watching your life and your teaching closely, so that it may not only prove your own salvation, but also enable others to find salvation through you. Well, I could stop there, but I will just give an example of each of life and teaching and how this applies. So, Paul says, watch your life and your teaching, your doctrine closely. Well, let me give you an example from elsewhere in Scripture of watching your life and your teaching. And let me suggest that we can apply this in the area, first of loving the church and a commitment to love in the church. Do you notice in verse 12 there in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy? Paul says to Timothy, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love. I remember asking a seasoned pastor just coming up to retirement for his advice when I began as a young pastor in my 30s. And his reply was very simple. He said, John, just love your people. Just love your people. Love is the hallmark of followers of Jesus, isn't it? This is how you will know that they're my followers, if they have love one for another. It's not talking about a mushy sentimental feeling. It's talking about a practical concern for the welfare of others and their best. That's what love is. Now, the pastor teacher is first and foremost a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's always good on the day off to remember that. I often sort of wake up on my day off, which happens to be a Tuesday, and have a little conversation with myself and say, so John, do you have to act as the pastor today? No, you can have a day off. But John, are you a Christian today? Yeah, and no, I'm still a Christian. So what does a Christian do? Well, a Christian makes time to listen to God through the Bible and talk to God in prayer. Well, off you go, John. Go do it. We're first and foremost followers of the Lord Jesus. And we need to be convinced of that and to live by that conviction, even when some church members are acting more like tricky teenagers than mature men and women. In a parallel letter, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says to them in chapter 2, verse 8, we loved you so much that we shared our life with you. We loved you so much. And Alan, John, others, we need to be able to say that of our congregation, don't we? Our current congregation, we loved you so much that we shared our lives with you. It is, to use the old language, it's a vocation, it's a calling, it's not a job. It's not a question of what are my hours. It's a calling to care for and to love a church family. So watch your life. Let me encourage you, particularly in relation to your love of the church, a commitment that you will love the people of Rainers Lane Baptist Church, members or no, regulars, and you will love them regardless of how they treat you, Alan, and that you will encourage Heather to do the same. Second area, final area to apply this. Watch your teaching as well as your life closely. Well, let me suggest we can apply this. You might want to turn over a couple of pages. It's a couple of pages backwards. So 1 Thessalonians 2. It's a conviction about power in the church. So as you watch your life, Alan, let there be a commitment to love. Love the people. As you watch your teaching, let there be a conviction about power in the church. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. we also thank God continually. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God. Now, he could have put a full stop there, but he goes on. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The word of God is at work. So when they received it, they heard the words, they thought about it, but they found it did something in them. It was actually powerful to work in their lives. It is a working word. So when Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:13 to the young Timothy, devote yourself to preaching of Scripture and the Word of God, he's saying that because he knows that that is where the power is. This is where the Word does its work. It is at work in you who believe. And there's always a temptation for the pastor or the church leader or whoever you are in church life to somehow doubt that. To think, well, it's, you know, to have somebody stand up and just open the Bible and teach it and preach it, is that really where the power is? There's this new program or course that I saw on the internet. What about that? If we did that in the church, wouldn't that suddenly transform us in some way? I was asked to give a reference recently for someone applying to a course, and the blurb of the training course said this: we are convinced that faithful expository ministry, in other words, expanding the scriptures, is God's instrument to move his churches from superficiality to depth and from infancy towards maturity in Christ. So we want to help serve local churches by helping the pastor teachers, evangelists, and church planters of the future to expound the Bible week by week with accuracy, confidence, and passion, in dependence upon the Spirit of God. And if you ask, why? Why is that their conviction? It's because that is where the power lies, in the Bible, in the Word of God. And if anything of eternal value is going to happen in our church, it will be because the Spirit takes the Word of God to do the work of God. It's like the driver for the software. Have you ever had that problem with a computer? You think, I just can't get the thing to work. And someone who knows more about these things says, have you downloaded the driver? You say, sorry, say that again? Have you downloaded the driver? No. Well, let me do it for you. They download the driver and suddenly it all works. Because the power is there. The power of knowledge and communication. And so it is with the scriptures. If nothing is happening in our church, is it because we haven't downloaded the driver? Or we're not using the software? We're not actually opening the scriptures, which is where the power of God is. Because this is the word of God, as Paul says to the Thessalonians, that you became convinced when you received this word that you heard from us, in their preaching of it to them, you received it as it actually is, not just a human voice speaking human words, but the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So let me encourage you, Alan, never to lose that conviction. I know you have it. We've had some great conversations over the years, and I know you care about doctrine and teaching. And I want to encourage you not to give up your concern, but to continue to watch your teaching closely and your life closely. Not to lose these convictions, a commitment to loving the brothers and sisters, the old and the young in the church. A conviction about where the power of God lies. And that you would watch your life and teaching closely. Setting an example, persevering in these things. To the glory of our God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul's words to the young Timothy, And in this context, we pray for the young Alan as he begins his ministry here, that you would enable him to take to heart these words. With your enabling grace, to watch his life and his teaching closely, to persevere in these things. Give him a love for the people here that is unshakable. Give him a conviction that the power lies in the Word of God as the Spirit of God takes it to do your work. May that too be unshaken for all his years of service. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to finish with a song, so if you'd like to stand and we'll sing together of the one whom angels and we worship together, our Lord Jesus Christ.